shall be brought low. And this mountain shall be the Lord of hosts make unto all the people, a feast of fat things, a feast of wines, a feast of lees, and fat things full of marrow, of wines, and the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord will wipe away tears from all their faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, that is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. For this is the Lord. We have waited for him. He will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for thy word this morning, Lord. For everything that has been said and done, Lord, we now will wait for that time where preaching will challenge us. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we wait for thy coming. How we wait for that day where death will be swallowed up in victory. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that this morning our hearts will be open. Lord, that our spirit will be yearning to be filled with thy goodness. And that thy word will find a home in our heart, Lord. If there's someone here today that Heavenly Father does not know thy love, does not know that you came to die for them, by the end of the day, Lord, and they may be willing to make Christ their Savior. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you bring conviction upon us and help us to right the wrong areas of our lives and help us to look to you, our Savior. In Jesus' name, be with our preacher. Help him, strengthen him, fill him with thy spirit, Lord, now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Flight of 9/11, I was watching, of course, some of the documentary again this week. It's hard to believe so much time has gone by. It seems like it was yesterday. And, you know, I watched once again the planes go into them buildings in New York City. Saw some footage of the plane going down Pennsylvania. And I saw, of course, in the documentary and some of the reminding me of what happened that dreadful day, I saw many, many tears. And you know, even though it's been, 8 years now since it's happened, you know, even watching that, it brought tears to my eyes. You know, to see the people jumping out of that building, to see that many people went into eternity that day. You see, it was a typical day for them. Beautiful day, sunny, gorgeous. Got up as usual, went to work. They were in routine, perhaps. Maybe looking forward to getting back after they punched out at night, being with their family. Just a routine day. But so many people faced eternity that day. But I want to focus in this morning on the tears that are shed. You know, our text this morning will be in verse number 8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. That's my title this morning. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. You see, this passage, just to explain here briefly, is part of a prophecy concerning the millennium. It concerns the period when Jesus Christ is reigning upon the earth in glory and power. It is a message of hope and promise to the Jews. And yet, as I was studying and reading this passage, I'm reminded of the parallel passage in Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. I don't know about you, but I sure love the thought that one day Jesus will be wiping away all my tears. I thank God, and you know what the truth of the matter is, whatever tears you shed, maybe this morning you're not shedding any tears. Everything's going pretty good, but you know what? You've shed tears over some heartache. You've shed tears over a death of a loved one. You've shed tears over different things and so forth. Let me tell you something. Thank God there's going to be a day that there'll be no more tears. Thank God that Jesus is going to wipe away all tears from our faces. You know, there is a better day coming for the child of God. Your weeping and sorrow will not last forever. Your trials and heartaches will come to an end
one of these days. Maybe you're going through some financial struggle. It will cease one day. Maybe you're going through some disappointment, and that will be gone one day. Maybe health problems have ailed you, and you will be healed one day. My friend, there is a better day coming for the child of God. You may be here this morning. You may have wept all you could weep this week over some heartaches or some struggles. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe some discouragement have brought you to tears. Maybe you're here, as I mentioned a moment ago, things are going well, but you know tears come. If we live this life on earth, you know, we're robed in flesh, we have heartache, we have pain, we have sorrow because of loved ones' death, we have many, many different things that come our way, we have trials, we have temptations, and yes, we do shed tears. There's joy in knowing that one day God's children are going to go home to heaven one day. John 14:1, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go, that's a promise, I go to prepare a place for you. When we get home, God will take his big handkerchief, if you will, of his marvelous grace, and all the tears will be wiped away, and I thank God for that. You know, as a father, I don't like to see my children cry. When they get hurt physically or emotionally, it hurts me, it bothers me. When the big tears roll down their face, I like to be there for them, wiping their tears away. Come to Dad. How often I've had, especially them growing up, you know, it's so easy when they're light, young, you know, pick them right up, they cry, you get to take the, you know, and say everything's going to be okay. I thank God that even today, that even the bigger they are, they know that they can still come to Dad. They know that they can come sit on Dad's lap, which is fine. My daughters, and they're crying. I can go ahead and wipe, you know, just like they were just young. But when the big tears roll down their face, I like to be there for them, wiping away their tears, giving them a hug, trying to take care of their problem, trying to find a solution for their problem. But you know, as a Christian, we have a Heavenly Father. I know God does not like to see me hurt, just as because I'm his child. I realize that trials I face may bring me to tears, and I thank God I have a Heavenly Father who's there for me whenever I need him. If I weep, he's there to comfort me through his Holy Spirit. Proverbs 13:5b says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I thank God I have that kind of God. He never leaves me when I'm in the valley or in the mountaintop or wherever I am. He is there. Just as I am there for my child to hug on them and wipe away their tears, I thank God, and I thank God, and I thank God one day all my tears will be wiped away. Just as a little child gets comfort from their earthly father, we wipe wipe tears away. You know what? It's almost going to be like one day Jesus is going to come to me, and you know what? All tears. Taking that big old handkerchief out, all the heartache that you've been through, all the trials and so forth, you know what? The remedy to that one day is when God tells his son, Jesus, hey, go get our children. And you know what? In heaven, there'll be no more tears. In heaven, there'll be no more pain. In heaven, there'll be no more death. In heaven, there'll be no more financial struggle. In heaven, there'll be no more disappointment. In heaven, there'll be no more discouragement. I thank God that Jesus is there to go ahead and comfort me. Even as a child of God, robed in flesh on this side of heaven, you know, he's there and he's going to comfort me. And I thank God that one day as a child of God, it's going to be all over. All them tears will be gone. All the heartaches will be gone. All the trials will be gone. And we're going to rule and reign with Jesus. I thank God that one day the clouds will be rolled back and Jesus will come for his own, and so shall I ever be with the Lord. What a promise. Boy, you know, that ought to excite us this morning. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know, not everybody likes to hear it, but the truth of the matter is Jesus is coming back. He's on his way. I don't believe it'll be long. When you look at all the things that are going on in this world today, you know what? Jesus will be coming back. I thank God for that promise. But I want to talk to you briefly this morning. What are some of the tears he's going to wipe away? What are some of the tears that's going to be wiped away? Number one, tears of death will be wiped away. You see, death has a universal impact, and many fear death and dying. You know, as a child of God, you don't need to fear death. Amen. Amen. You know, you have this hope and you have the security in knowing that you're on your way to heaven when you become a child of God. You don't have to go ahead and fear death as a child of God. Hebrews 9:27, though, there is an appointment, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You know what? If God tarries, if the Lord tarries his coming, we all have an appointment to die one day. the Lord tarries and we're here a full lifetime, a full lifespan. You know, we all have an appointment to die one day. And Romans 5:12, why do we have an appointment to die? The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Ever since man sinned in the Garden of Eden, man has been dying, not just spiritually, but dying physically. We all have been touched by sin. We've all been touched by death, if you will. And if the Lord does not return in our lifetime, we all are going to experience death one day. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready? Going back to 9/11, just like that fateful day where many, many, many perished that day, thinking that they still had their whole life ahead of them. Would you be ready if that fateful day happened to you? Would you be ready if you breathed your last breath? Jesus conquered death for his people. Let's read Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, you know, Jesus has conquered death for his people. Let me read verses 1 through 6. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. Boy, boy, what a sight this is. The day of the resurrection, what a sight this must have been. Verse number 4, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. You know, every time I read that, I go, you know, they were just so shaken, they were so scared. They died, the Bible says. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. For he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. You see, Jesus conquered death. Yeah, we're all going to experience death one day if the Lord tarries, but Jesus conquered death for his people. Thank God that he did arise. Thank God that we serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I thank God that he conquered death for his people. And because he conquered death, so shall we as the child of God conquer death. We will all be changed. We will rise again to attain our mansion in heaven. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read a few verses here. I'll be turning to a few this morning. So follow along the very best you can. I will be moving quickly. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says, and we have borne the image of the earthy. That's talking about us. We also bear the image of the heavenly when you get saved. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You know, if you're a child of God this morning, in my Father's house are many mansions. God says he's up there creating a mansion for you. Are you ready to go attain that mansion? I thank God for that. And I just thank God that the pain that I may feel and the heartache that I may feel, you know what? All that's going to change one day when Jesus comes back for his own and the clouds roll back. I thank God all that's going to be changed. I won't have this robe of flesh that hurts and that is easily tempted. I won't have this robe of flesh that goes through pain. I won't feel the emotions of discouragement. I thank God I'm going to be changed in his like this one day. And the Bible says, let's go ahead and read on, we shall all be changed. Number 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. There is that again, we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Verse number 54, so when this corruptible shall be have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Hey, you know what? Some of the tears that God's going to roll away, we found it also here in 1 Corinthians, but you find it in the first part of verse 8, he will swallow up death in victory. I thank God that the tears of death will be all wiped away. One day we're going to have no more pain. This old body's going to go ahead and fall off. I'm going to have a sinless body, a glorified body, an incorruptible body. And one day we're going to have no more pain. We're not going to see death anymore. We may be buried on this side in a coffin, if you will, just our body. Our loved ones may have to weep for a portion of time over our death. But one day, the Bible says in verse 52 of 1 Corinthians there, we shall be changed. Who shall be changed? The saved. those who are a child of God. You know, because it's appointed unto man once to die. And let me tell you something, if Jesus tarries, we're all going to meet that appointment one day. But are you ready? If you're unsaved this morning, are you ready? Do you know for sure if you're to die today that you'd be changed? Do you know for sure if you're to die today that you'd go to heaven? Hey, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hey, our old body, if we're a child of God, our old body will be new and glorified in Christ's likeness. There'll be no more pain, no more tears, no more death. Praise God. And we will not need to fear death. Death has been abolished where we're going. Be no more death in heaven. Hey, we never have to have tears over death. They will be wiped away. Number two, there'll be no more tears of despair. He will, number one, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. This verse reminds me that the world is a land of weeping. We experienced it. We experience it every year, September 11th. I do, anyways. The world is a land of weeping. Homes and hearts are broken. Families and lives of individuals lie in shambles because of the touch and taint of sin. I'm reminded constantly, you just watch the news and you see the Iraq war and the Afghanistan war and all the wars and rumors of wars that are going on. I'm reminded of many a mom and dad, many a spouse, many children watching their loved one march off to war, not knowing if they're ever going to see their loved one again. I'm reminded as a wife watches her husband march off, she holds him maybe for the last time. What is she doing? Generally weeping. And that soldier husband is doing the same. A little child saying, goodbye, Daddy. Goodbye, Mama, to his or her soldier mom or dad. A mom and dad watching their son or daughter go off to war generally brings a lot of weeping. You see, our world is a veil of tears. As I mentioned earlier, this week I saw the towers fall again. You know, as I watched it, my eyes just filled with tears. It almost took me right back to that day. I remember where I was. I saw the weeping of our president this week giving a speech at the Pentagon as he remembered the victims. The Bible teaches that we all pass through times of heartache and sorrow. As I was thinking of our world of being a land of weeping, I'm reminded of a mom back in Maine who just a couple years ago lost her 17-year-old boy in a car wreck. And to this day, she just struggles with that. Christian lady. Church has been there for her, but I'm reminded of when I got the news. He was a teenager in my youth group. We had taken a few days off, took our whole family to Connecticut, and I got down there and got the call. One of my teenagers were frantically on the phone, on my cell phone, and I couldn't tell what she was saying. Pastor Weeks, you know, Ryan has been killed. Pastor, you know, I couldn't tell. I said, whoa, settle down. Hold it. And I said, now very slowly tell me what's going on. And of course, Ryan is the boy who was killed. I'm reminded of all that went on during that time frame. I'm reminded of mom and dad weeping and crying and wailing over the death of their boy. A fine young man. Had a lot of great plans for God, called to preach, going off into the ministry, different things, would have graduated within the year. I'm reminded of a youth group and many, many teenagers weeping and crying over this man. Hey, what I'm saying is our world is a veil of tears. It is a land of weeping. But you know, as I've said to this mom many times, I said, you know what, one day, all tears are going to be wiped away. Thank God for that. Even in the midst of heartaches, Jesus goes on giving us the victory. You know, you see, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and if you want to turn there, I'm going to go ahead and read. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says this, I love these scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read verses 7, 8, and 9. This is Paul writing, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of his revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And of course, he never did lose that thorn in the flesh. And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You know, we have the victory. And the truth of the matter is, if we'd have the same attitude as Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And when you think, and we're going to talk a little bit about it tonight, but when you think about everything that Paul went through, yet he can still say, "My grace is sufficient. I have victory today." He could go ahead every single day, even when he was stoned. I was reading a passage last night. When he was stoned, the next day he got up and went off preaching again. It didn't matter. You know why? Because he found his grace in God. He found the strength that he needed in Jesus Christ. Hey, what I'm saying, you know, you may be going through it, but let me say this. Jesus is going to give us the victory. He's given us victory, and we can say, "My grace is sufficient." You know, the truth of the matter is, there's so many people that quit. When the heartaches come, that quit. And the truth is, if you would take your heartache and do what Paul did, he says this, "Most gladly." He says, "Most gladly, therefore." You know, if my thorn's not going to be taken away, God, three times I'm asking you to take it away. But my grace, Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And then Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities." You know, the truth of the matter is, you ought to take that infirmity. Maybe you ought to take that cancer. Maybe you ought to take that heartache. Maybe you ought to take that financial struggle. Maybe you ought to take that death of a loved one, so that you can go ahead and teach somebody else how to go through it instead of quitting. Oftentimes we have Christians, they just quit church. "God, this isn't fair. This is not fair. You know, God, I thought it was going to be better than this." And the truth of the matter is, it might be God's just trying to teach you something. It might be God wants you to learn something. And it might be that God wants you to be a good testimony for someone else that's going through it. Hey, you ought to use it for his glory. Paul glorified in his infirmities so that he could testify the goodness of God. You know, why don't you take that infirmity that you're going through? Stand, and as the scripture says in Ephesians 6, having done all to stand strong, putting on the armor and so forth. But why don't you just take that infirmity, if you will, and just decide, "I'm going to stay. I'm going to stand. I'm going to take this infirmity. I'm going to go ahead and teach my kids how to stand strong for Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and teach my those that watch me." And by the way, if you're a Christian, a lot of people do watch you. I wonder how many people watch you go to church this morning. You say, "I don't think so." You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how many people watch you this morning. You'd be surprised how many people are watching you on the job site. You'd be surprised how many people are watching, maybe just looking for a little breath of fresh air from your life. But because infirmities, we quit. "No, God, this isn't fair." And maybe when they're trying to look for a little breath of fresh air because of your testimony and so forth, and when they see you quit, "Wow, I don't know, maybe the Christian life isn't worth it after all." Hey, what I'm trying to say, you know what? Use your infirmity to be a testimony for Jesus Christ. I said, number one, he's going to wipe away the tears of death. He'll wipe away the tears of despair. And then number three, he's going to wipe away the tears of disparagement. Or I'd like to say the tears of worldly peer pressure. You know, we seem to live in a world where so much pressure is upon us as Christians to veer off from the will of God. It seems like that every angle the devil tries to attack us. You go to the checkout counter at the grocery store, all you do is see nudity. It seems like every way you go, you know, it's all around. The devil will try to go ahead and attack you, maybe on the job site with dirty jokes or whatever the case may be. It just seems like that the old devil's there to attack you in every different direction. So in turn, it causes us to go through some trials simply because we are his people, God's people, and we seem to always be fighting to do right. And as I mentioned before, Ephesians 6, I can't take time this morning, but you know, it talks about the warfare of the Christian and how you ought to stand strong. And you just be reminded, you know what? Whenever you feel the pressure of the world, the peer pressure of the world, you know what? You know what challenges me? I am reminded that God and I are majority. God and I are a majority. You know, I don't have to go ahead and fight this battle alone. I don't have to fight the despair alone. I don't have to fight the death, if you will, alone of a loved one or whatever. I don't have to fight the disparagement or people making fun of me all by myself. Hey, you know what? I'm reminded that God and I are a majority. It seems that we're attacked, but reminded that you and God are a majority on the job site, everywhere you go. Right now, it's not popular in our society to declare our faith, but it must not stop us. You know, the Bible still says to declare our faith. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. You know, we are still to declare our faith. People ought to see Jesus in you on the job site. People ought to tell that there's a difference about you. Hey, you know what? It's not popular today to declare our faith, but that must not stop us. They say it is politically incorrect to say that Jesus is the only way of salvation. But you know what, my friend? It is the only way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, Jesus is the only way. I don't care what the politicians say. I don't care if it's going against the wind of doctrine. But the truth of the matter is, if you want to get to where God is, it's only through Jesus Christ. You can't do it through the church. You can't do it through the sacraments. You can't do it through good works. Hey, it's only through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way. Hey, the world may call us narrow-minded because of our faith. That's fine. Go ahead and call me narrow-minded. That's okay. They may go ahead and mock our faith. They may go ahead and we will be understood. But Jesus was too. You know, that puts me in good company. You know, people may, why do you want to do that? Why do you want to go to church? Why do you want to serve God? Why do you want to give your life to full-time Christian service, teenager? Why do you want to raise your family in the admonition of the Lord? People may go ahead and ask why. But let me tell you something. A whole lot of people ask Jesus why. You know, we may be misunderstood, but Jesus was too. They may ridicule us on our standing in the Bible. They may laugh at us and call us old-fashioned because of our spiritual morals and stands. Go ahead and call me old-fashioned. That's okay. By the way, whenever I'm called that stuff, I say thank you very much. I really do. We believe that sex should be reserved for the marriage bed. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Boy, it doesn't get any clearer than that. People go ahead and say, well, you know, you're just too old-fashioned. Hey, let me tell you something. I have an old-fashioned God, and I have an old-fashioned book, and I will not waver from it. Hey, you know what? They may make fun of us because of our stand, but we must not waver. Hey, you know, listen. We even face the opposition about sex being reserved for marriage, even from Christians. They expect God's full blessing. God hates adultery and sex outside of marriage, and he will judge it. Hey, remember Sodom and Gomorrah? That wicked, wicked place. Hey, you know what? God will judge. And let me tell you something. The way we're going in America today, we're very close to it. We're so very close to it. Hey, the world pressures cause us to believe that marriage is reserved for men and women. You know, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. He did. You know, marriage is between a man and a woman. So I don't like that. Don't take it up with me. Take it up with God. Amen. Homosexuality is a dirty, rotten sin, and God will judge. And we're facing the judgment of America today. The sex sin of America today, God is placing it upon us today. We're going to be judged for it. We will be judged for it. We believe that drugs and drinking is sin, and it is. Why? Because I belong to God, and I am not to mistreat the body that God gave me. You know, the Bible says, and you can turn to it, you can just jot it down, 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to return to it. 19-20. What know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are mine? No, which are God's. God is very clear here. You know, I got saved. I belong to God. I have no right to go ahead and put things in my body that which ought not be. I ought not do things with my body which ought not be. What I'm trying to say, hey, the body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, ye have of which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. I belong to God. I'm bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This body's not mine to do just what I want with. The Holy Ghost indwells me. How can he fill me and use me if I treat my body badly and fill it with the junk of the world? You know, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You know what? The mind's a terrible thing to waste. And we'll go ahead and allow things in our mind and allow thoughts in our mind. And we'll allow things to go ahead and be put onto the box and put things in our ears from the radio. Hey, what I'm trying to say, hey, this body belongs to God. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, Romans 12, verse 1. This body's not mine just to do what I want to do with. Remember I asked last week about being Spirit-filled? You know, we got all the Holy Spirit that we could get at salvation. But did he get all of you? Did the Holy Spirit, did God get all of you when you got saved? It may not be that he did simply because of some of the things that we're battling with and some of the things that we're doing. And don't cry to me or don't cry to God, why can't I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because we're dealing with the junk of the world. And we got to clean up our act. Hey, you know what? But God will wipe away the tears of disparagement. It's no wonder today that there's no fullness of the Holy Spirit because the world says to party it up. And oftentimes, we go that way. We drop our guard, if you will. We drop our thoughts, if you will. We drop everything, and the world just kind of deters us from the things of God and the will of God. Hey, what I'm trying to say, you want to be Spirit-filled, you need to go ahead and stand your ground for Christ. The world thinks we're out of touch. But the truth of the matter is, we're in touch with all that matters. That's God and his will. The world goes crazy when we preach the gospel to every creature. You know why they go crazy? Because it's conviction. It's conviction. You know, whenever they get up, if you read several stories in the book of Acts, how the Holy Spirit pricked their hearts. And they'd go ahead and go attacking the preacher and put the preacher in prison and different things back in the book of Acts. And it's happening that way today. You know why? Because the world can't stand the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. But we must not quit. The day's coming when those in the world who do not know Jesus will wish that they did. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to read another verse here, Philippians chapter 2. I know I'm opening up a lot of scriptures, but I want to just show you what God says. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Wherefore God hath highly exalted himself and given him a name which is above every name, that every at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The day is going to come when those in the world, that the unsaved, that those who mock us, that those who mock God, and truth the matter is, they're not mocking us, they're mocking God. But there's going to be a day that every knee shall bow and every tongue look at us. There's going to be a day that everybody in this world will recognize who Jesus is. It's going to be a day the politicians are going to recognize it. They're going to get on their knees and say, I praise you, God. They're going to recognize who Jesus is. The movie stars are going to recognize who Jesus is. The sports stars will recognize who Jesus is. The homosexuality crowd will recognize who Jesus is. The free love crowd will recognize who Jesus is. Larry Flint will recognize who Jesus is. The activists will recognize who Jesus is, because every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess. It will happen. Hey, we must not be ashamed of our relationship with Jesus. Whether you're at school, you live for Jesus. Whether you're at work, you live for Jesus. Whether you're at home, you live for Jesus. This day, the day is going to come when he's going to remove all the reproach and the disgrace from the people of the earth. And one of these days, it's going to happen. One of these days, I'm going home with Jesus. One of these days, God's going to say, son, go get our children. Are you ready? Are you ready? You know, the best place to be in that day is in Jesus Christ, saved and secured by the precious blood of the Lamb. That's going to be the best place to be. But unfortunately, there's going to be some. What happened? You know, there's going to be some, even sitting in church houses that preach the word of God and preach thus saith the Lord, who's going to miss it? There's no doubt there's someone here this morning, if you were to die today, that you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven. You don't have to sit here this morning and think that. You can know before you left church this morning that you have a home in heaven. You know, as I quoted earlier, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, my friend, are you ready? Have you played church all these years and you've heard the sound of the preaching of the gospel and you've heard the preacher preach it? And yes, sometimes it is hard preaching, but the truth of the matter is, and don't you sit there saying, well, the preacher's preaching to me. You know what? No, the Holy Spirit's preaching to you. You may be sitting there. You may be uncomfortable this morning. I'm not pointing at you. The truth of the matter is, I love you. But though you may sit there and your heart's feeling funny right now, the truth of the matter is, it's the Holy Spirit of God. And don't you quench his spirit. Hey, you do something about it. You come forward. Maybe you're a Christian this morning. You've got some issues in your life. And you want to be spirit-filled. And you want, you've got some trials. Why don't you decide this morning, I'm going to bring it to God at the altar. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been trusting in your good works. You've been trusting in your way to get to heaven. The truth of the matter, you try to trust your good works. You try to trust on what you want to do to get to heaven. But the Bible says Jesus is the way. But if you want to trust your own way, you will split hell wide open. Amen. Because you know what? We have to understand we're sinners. We have to understand there's a price on sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You know what? The gift of God is eternal life. Amen. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what? That word death there in the Bible, the wages of sin is death, talking about a place called hell. By the way, hell is a place of fire. In Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. My friend, if you've been playing church, if you're here this morning, you don't know for sure if you were to breathe your last breath. You don't know if you were to go ahead and go into some high-rise apartment building somewhere and a plane went into the side of your building and you fell down with that and it was your last breathing day. Do you know for sure you'd spend eternity in heaven with Jesus? Do you know for sure? Hey, you know what? Before you leave this place this morning, you can have the security in knowing that I'm going to heaven. And I was Thursday evening debating whether I'd give this here this morning. Thursday evening, just tell the whole story. I generally go out visiting, go out, make some calls and do some visiting and so forth. Pretty much I'm locked in with my schedule. I know what I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it. And came to my office, made my list of people I was going to go visit. About 6:15 at that time, 6:30, I generally take off, somewhere around that time, generally take off. But during that time, as I was making my list of people to go visit, the Holy Spirit of God prompted me. Said, Sean, I let him call me Sean, by the way. Sean, I want you to go down to the dock. We have a dock down here behind the church. And by the way, you ever want to go boating or rafting, go on down, use it for the church. But my dad built us a dock this summer. And oftentimes I'll go down there to the dock and I'll read my Bible. And the Holy Spirit, you know, and don't get me wrong, I kind of like to be scheduled. I mean, this is church work. I got visiting I got to do and so forth. But the Holy Spirit said, Sean, I want you to go down to the dock and I want you to read your Bible. You know, and I'll admit, I was kind of just pushing it. Okay, God, but listen, I'm doing your work. You know, I mean, we were just literally having a little, you know. Says, Sean, I want you to go down to the dock and read your Bible. I was so impressed to do that. I said, okay, all right. So I grabbed my chair, went down, sat at the edge of the dock like I do, just looking around, enjoying the view, had my Bible, started reading the Bible. There was a man who lives about two houses down from here. There was a man that was out there in his little raft fishing along the shoreline. He was just, from here to the back wall at first, and I was just kind of watching him, but reading my Bible and just talking with the Lord and so forth. And as he kind of got paddling closer and casting, he got to about where I am now, to about the middle section here of the auditorium. So we were able to carry on a pretty good conversation. He says, hey, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. How you doing tonight? Doing well. We had a lot of small talk at first. And just talked about occupations and different things. And then, I told him that I'm the preacher up here at Faith Baptist Church and so forth. He says, oh, really? And then he goes ahead and And he says, how did you ever get into church? I go, well, I got into church because I grew up in church. Went to church basically all my life, and I got saved at a young age and so forth. Saved. Saved. Okay, what's that mean? I said, well, you know, and he was still out there a little ways, and it was getting darker and darker and so forth, but we were still talking and still small talking, but I was talking to him some things about the Bible and about salvation and different things from out there. And then I said, hey, you got a moment? His name's Phil. I said, you got a moment? Could you come in here? He said, sure. So he was wrapping things up anyways. He came up and sat right up beside the dock. He rode right up beside the dock, and I got down, and I got on my hands and knees beside him. I said, now, Phil, I gotta tell you something. I said, it's dark right now, you're not going to be able to read the Bible with me, but I want you to promise, I want you to understand, I know what I'm reading, you got to trust me that I'm quoting the Word of God with you. He says, yeah, that's fine, Pastor. And so anyways, to make a long story long, I went through the whole plan of salvation with him. Right there in his boat, he sweetly got saved. He sweetly got saved. And I'm telling you, you know, you never saw a preacher get so excited in my life. We had ladies up here and so forth, and I came running. I mean, you ever see me? I don't move that fast. I mean, I can't move that. You see me? You know, I can't move that fast. Okay? I came running and barreling up this hill here. You know, didn't have a heart attack, okay? I went in and telling the ladies, I said, you know what? And my wife was speculating, what's going on, you know, and so forth and so on. And I went ahead and told them, and we just rejoiced together. But what I'm saying, you know, the truth of the matter is, and I said all that to say this, you know what? That guy's prepared and ready. If he was to breathe his last breath today, you know what? He's going to heaven. He shook my hand, and I told him, I said, before I prayed the prayer with him, he realized he was a sinner. He realized there was a price on sin. He realized that hell would be that price if he didn't get saved. He asked Jesus to come into his heart. And every time I lead somebody to Christ, I normally have a word of prayer first. And I said something like this. I said, Lord, I know it was not by chance. Now, Holy Spirit, I know this was not by chance that I'm on this dock tonight. And then after I led him to the Lord and he prayed and he sweetly got saved, he says, you know, Pastor, he says, it was something about the moment you came down, you sat on that dock and I was yonder out there. Something drew me to you. I said, it was God, believe it or not. It was God. It's not because of my looks or anything, but I said, it was God. You're laughing, okay? But, you know, but the truth of the matter is, it was God. It was God. Hey, what I'm trying to say, you know what? Phil is ready today. If he breathes his last breath, he's going to heaven. Are you there? You've been playing church. You've been kind of playing around. I mean, do you really know that you, if you were to die today, you'd have a home in heaven? You can know it. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You can know it. You don't have to sit here this morning and say, I think I'm going to heaven. The Bible says you can know it. You can be secure in knowing that if you were to breathe your last breath this morning, you'd have eternal life. And then number four, he'll wipe away the tears of distance. You know, my wife, I gotta admit it, when she was away this week, that's rough. You know, that's rough. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I maintained the household and I took care of everything, and, you know, she'd be proud of me. But, you know, nobody got sick, nobody died, nothing happened. But you know what? It gets a little lonely. It really does. I love being with my best friend, I love being with my wife. And I'll admit, you know, as I came over yesterday morning, you know, I shed a tear for my wife. Said, Lord, just give her a good day. And I just so looked forward to when she got home last night. I couldn't really sleep. I pretended. She didn't know this. I was pretending that I was sleeping. I was pretending that I was sleeping when she got home. She got home about 11:30, quarter 12. I was pretending so because I was afraid she was going to ask me, come down and get my suitcase or something like that. You know what I mean? So come on, man, help me out. All right? Okay? But the truth of the matter is, you know, but boy, I was laying there, oh yes, she's home. It was just really, really good to have her back. But you know what? God will wipe away the tears at distance. You know, this verse pictures the Jews finally seeing their Messiah in verse number 9. Let's read verse number 9. Now I'm going to land this thing. And it shall come, and it shall be said, I'm sorry, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him. And he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. You know, this verse pictures the Jews finally seeing their Messiah after having waited for him so long. You know, oftentimes we perceive the delay in his coming, and it gets many a little bit discouraged. God, when are you coming? Are you coming? It gets many even a little bit disillusioned. You know, the old devil, he'll use this time, if you will, and try to use this time as you're waiting for the Lord. He's not coming, and say to you, he's not coming. You don't really believe that he's going to come, do you? You know, it is a lie to believe that he is. That's what the devil will tell you. But let me tell you something. The devil's always been a liar. Go back to the Garden of Eden. It started way back then and then some. But you know what? Jesus promises that he's going to come. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You know what? Jesus promises he's going to come. And I thank God one of these days he's going to come back. And we're going to rule and reign with him forever. I thank God for that day. I look forward to that day. We're going to inherit our mansions. Our sighing is going to be replaced with shouting. We're going to cast crowns at his feet. We're going to walk the streets of gold. We're going to see the river of life. We're going to see the gates of pearl. All the beauty of his holiness is going to be there. But you know what's better than that? We're going to hear Jesus saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We're going to be able to see Jesus' nail-pierced hands and see all that he had done for us on the cross and why, so that we could be there with him. That's why he has the nail-pierced hands. But we're going to see that. We're going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Yeah, we're all facing burdens this side of heaven. Maybe some of you this week, you shed a few tears, maybe over 9/11 like I did some. Maybe over some other personal issue. Maybe right now you're not shedding any tears at all. Things are pretty good, but you know the day is going to come that you will shed them again. But guess what? One of these days, God's going to wipe away the tears of death. He's going to wipe away the tears of despair, the tears of disparagement, and the tears of distance. One day he's going to come back for you. Are you saved this morning? Are you ready for that day? If Jesus was to roll them clouds away today, would you be part of that crowd? Would you be part of that crowd? Oh, my friend, if you're here this morning, you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, I plead with you. I plead with you when the music plays in just a moment that you walk out of your seat. Don't worry about what somebody thinks beside you or behind you, in front of you, because we're all going to stand account for God, to God one day, all of us. If you're here this morning, you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, why don't you decide today? Today's going to be the day. Today's going to be. Don't think you can do it in your own will, your own strength, and get to heaven on your own good works. You can't, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Don't think that you can do it by just going to church and doing good works and all that, and all that's wonderful, and all the works comes after salvation, by the way. But the truth of the matter is, if you want to get to where God is, you can only go through the cross of Jesus Christ. You're here this morning, you don't know for sure you're saved. Just a few minutes, you ought to march down. Don't you worry about who's sitting beside you. You ought to march down, shake my hand, say, "Preacher, I want to be saved." And someone will sit down with the Word of God and show you how to be saved. Don't leave here without knowing Jesus, because one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. You may think, "I'm okay, preacher." Every knee's going to bow and every tongue will confess. Going to live in your sin, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What tears you're shedding this morning? Maybe you're here, you know for sure you're on your way to heaven, but you've had a tough week. Why don't you this morning just come down and give it to Jesus? And his Holy Spirit will take them, will take the handkerchief out and kind of wipe the tears away. We serve a good God. We serve a wonderful God. I thank God, you know, that we serve a God that loves us. It's measureless at how much he loves us. And I thank God that every tear that I shed and every tear that you shed, he'll take it. He'll wipe them away. God, he will wipe away all tears. He will. Where are you at this morning, Christian? Just kind of stagnant? Kind of dealing with things yourself? Why don't you decide whatever you're going through, give it to God this morning.
You're unsaved this morning, don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You know what? You can have that gift of salvation. God says it's a gift. And all you have to do is just receive it. I don't know where you're at. Whatever decision needs to be made here shortly, why don't you go ahead and don't quench your spirit. You move when it's time, our Heavenly Father. We love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for Faith Baptist Church, and I thank you for these dear people. I thank you for our church family. I thank you, God, that even though we do go through infirmities, I thank you, God, for those who just stick with it and want to use that infirmity as a testimony for you. But I'm sure maybe there's some Christians, there's some of your children here this morning, there's some heavy hearts. They're going through some things. They maybe shed some tears. I pray, dear God, that you just reassure them that they don't have to go through it by themselves. They can go ahead and just bring them to you, and you, through your wonderful grace, will take that handkerchief out, so to speak, and wipe all tears away. I pray, dear God, if there's someone here this morning, they don't know you as personal Savior. I pray, dear God, today's a day. You see, it's appointed unto man once to die. And I pray, dear God, that while we are yet breathing, we'll understand this is the only time that we can accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. I pray there will be no delay. If there's some lost soul here today, there'll be no delay in coming to you and knowing you as their personal Savior. I pray, Father, that you would, Holy Spirit, just moved promptly in hearts during this invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I don't know about you. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's knocking at your heart's door about. If you're unsaved this morning, there's nothing to be ashamed about. We love to see people saved. You can march down that aisle, shake my hand, say, "Preacher, I need to be saved." And we'll have someone show you from the Bible how you can be saved this morning. If, Christian, you're going through something this morning, you're going through a tough time, you've been shedding some tears, you're kind of bearing it by yourself, why don't you this morning just submit and say, "Okay, God, here, wipe some tears away." Whatever needs to be done this morning, the song leader, the pianist is going to go ahead and play "I Surrender All," and won't you surrender whatever it is this morning, the pianist plays. That's it. What tears you have this morning? What is it? Shed some tears because you don't know for sure about salvation. You don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Oh, why don't you this morning just decide, today's the day of salvation. I need to be saved this morning. What is it? What is it? Come on. That's it. Invitation's still going. People are praying. It's not too late. Need to come forward. Shed some tears at the altar this morning. Whatever it is, it's not too late. People are still praying.
right. Do we have... I'm just wondering, do we have maybe an announcement? I didn't know if... Yes, Mrs. Weeks, you wanted to...
Lucy?
Stephanie's mom. Amen. Lucy came forward, accepted Jesus as her personal Savior. Amen. God bless you, Lucy. I'll be praying for you in your new Christian walk. God bless you. Okay, Brother Robles, won't you come pray?
Let's bow our heads this morning. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your working in us. Thank you so much for, Lord, your strength in our daily lives. We thank you so much for the preaching today. And thank you that, Lord, we have a hope in you, and that is the hope of your return. And, Lord, we just wait and say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you be with every person here today. Thank you for that one that's saved today, and thank you that it's been rescued from the fire. And, Lord, we thank you so much for your love and your mercy. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you be with us now. Give us safety as we travel home. And Lord, bring us once again tonight as we fellowship together and gather together once again. Thank you for this church. Thank you for its preacher. Thank you for its people. We pray that you keep us now and guard us safely. In Jesus' name, amen.